Turning once again to the Word of God, we look at the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 32. And our text word for this evening is simply the second verse. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Dear congregation, when you go on a journey, and especially a long and treacherous journey, you have needs. You have even greater than many needs. And how much more so on life's journey? For it is a journey, isn't it? We're traveling, aren't we? All of us? You too. Ever since paradise, we are pilgrims in a strange land. At least so it ought to be. In a land of which we've sung and which so often there is no water. Now, when God made us, we walked with God in the cool of the day. Imagine that. To walk with our Creator in sweet fellowship. Nothing hindering communion with Him. He, our Maker, our Provider, our God, our Guide, our Guard. And yet, sin having entered into our world, what a difference it has made. Every one of life's travelers, unless they are entirely blind to it, comes to realize at one or other time that life is not an easy journey. Someone put it like this: he who thinks life is a calm and smooth sailing is either a dreamer or a fool. Many of us set out in life when the sea was peaceful and we never could imagine the storms that come up in life, such that the old ship of our life seems like it will crack in two countless times. Can you relate to that? And in our text, we have a great reality and a great comfort for life's weary travelers, which we hope to see looking to the Lord from verse 2 of this great prophecy in Isaiah 32. The theme looking to the Lord is simply this: Christ, everything on life's journey. Christ, everything on life's journey. We'll see, first of all, the need that this presupposes. Secondly, the protector this proposes. And then thirdly, briefly, the question that this poses. Christ, everything on life's journey. The need, the protector, and the question. When you look closely at the words of our text, congregation, you see four needs jumping out immediately from the words of our text. Even the children and young people, you can see them, can't you? In verse 2, where we have, first of all, the wind. Secondly, we have the tempest. Thirdly, we have the dry place. And then fourthly, we have the weary land. In a certain sense, the first two belong together and the second two belong together. You have the wind and the tempest. Tempest is a great wind, a wind that won't go away but increases in magnitude. And a dry place and a weary land, they too belong together. A dry place is a stretch of wilderness, and a weary land is a long wilderness where you go on and on and on, and the desert doesn't stop. And Isaiah was a prophet who was given to paint with words. He was really a poetic artist. You can see this throughout his beautiful prophecy. And the first picture here is that of a traveler who's passing through the desert and the wind comes up. Now, if you've ever been in the Middle East, as some of you have, and the wind comes up and you have a sandstorm, you're in trouble, especially if you're out by yourself. You literally cannot see far ahead of you. and the sand is just pelting down upon you. It can even hide the sun from your view. It can be most eerie and most disturbing, as I've experienced as well. And doesn't this happen in life as well, that afflictions and trials can come upon you? And sometimes out of the blue, you don't see them coming, but there they are. And they cloud your vision. And they keep pelting upon you. And the wind can bite into your skin and can make you want to turn away from it and even hide from it. And you know, there are many winds in life. There are physical winds in the sense of trials that come to us in life involving our body, sicknesses and difficulties, accidents, and problems with relatives of a physical nature. You can have also a mental wind that all of a sudden blows and your mind is left reeling and you can't put thoughts after each other like you used to. And you lie low simply to try to keep your sanity. And then you can have winds going through your family, conflict, strife, rage, things that you can't control. Wind, who can control the wind? Can you speak to the wind and it dies down? No, it comes up and it is directed by the Lord. And the second metaphor of a tempest makes it even to a greater degree. A tempest is something very fierce. It's something that if you don't have protection, you won't survive, certainly not over time. And congregation, when you compare the picture of a tempest in the Scripture, the tempest is often used for the judgment of God that will one day come upon the earth. It will be a dark day, the Bible says, and not a light day, not for the inhabitants of the earth, not for those who have no shelter. It's something that if you're unprotected, unguarded, it will take you and decimate you. You need a shelter. We need a refuge. We need a place where the wrath of God, which we deserve, cannot come down upon us. But how about a dry place? Life, also for the people of God, is often filled with places where you can't find refreshment. Indeed, the Bible tells us that He leads us, the shepherd does, by the still waters. And the Lord is often good to His people. Those still waters are His Word, whereby He refreshes us in the midst of our journey. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. When that is the case, you're never far from a long, refreshing drink. But if you never experience that, there are times when you thirst and you pant and the water just doesn't seem to be there. And you go from feeling some thirst to being utterly parched within. David knew about that. My soul thirsteth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And then when that dry land becomes a weary land, then you've gone on so long that you become incredibly weary and you wish to lie down and you don't even think about water because you're so tired. Weariness, fatigue has come over you. You're so drained. You're in that place like Elijah, where you lie down and you say, Lord, it's better for me to die than to live. If you've not been there, thank God for that. But some of the Lord's people do get there. Especially if you've fought long and you've fought hard and your strength is gone and the sun is beating down upon you and it all feels so merciless. That's a weary land. I wonder tonight if anyone is in any of these great difficulties, in any of them. Or if you recall in your life different seasons in which, yes, there was the wind. Yes, there was that dry season in my life. Yes, weariness. Or perhaps it's someone you know and you're praying for. We ought to be bound together with others and care for others and be much in prayer for others. Well, this is an honest portrait of life's journey. Isaiah himself must have experienced that. He must have known what that was like in the day in which he lives. He speaks so very honestly, doesn't he, in this chapter, of all that is awry in his society and in his world. His world has turned its back on the Lord. It has grieved the Lord, and the Lord has withdrawn many tokens of his mercy and of his grace. Judgments are on the horizons. Winds are rising up. There are long stretches in which the Lord's presence is not felt as it had been before. Isaiah knows what that is. When we look out over our world, we see very much the same thing, certainly in the West, certainly in lands where the Lord formerly was so wonderfully at work. We wonder, don't we, in these past years, whether we have not, as a society, entered into perhaps the driest stretch that our nation has seen. Winds, storms, dryness, weariness. Do you know anything, any of that in your soul tonight? Well, my dear friend, what is the solution for all these needs and for all this predicament? A man. A man shall be as a hiding place. This is most remarkable. You'd almost think Isaiah is writing this next to the manger or on the hillside of Galilee as someone goes about teaching and preaching. He says, a man shall be as a hiding place. Let's look at these various pictures that he paints now in terms of the remedy. So first of all, he mentions here a hiding place. Now notice something. This man doesn't remove the wind, but he hides from the wind. He takes the wind and makes a sinner to hide in himself from the wind. And it even goes further. He's a covert from the tempest or from the storm. And that word covered is a very strong word. It's a shelter. And what a shelter the Lord is. When we consider that tempest that we just saw could very well refer to the wrath of Almighty God against sin. Who can shelter from that? This church can't shelter from that. No bunker can shelter from that. No mighty mountain with the deepest tunnels can shelter from the wrath of God. In the day of days, the unconverted will cry for the rocks to hide them. And they won't. And they can't. From the wrath of him that sitteth upon the throne and of the Lamb. But a man shall be as a covert from the tempest. And then thirdly, he is not only a protection, but he is a provision at one and the same time. He is like rivers in a dry place, not a brook, and especially not a brook that runs out. He is a river, a flowing river, not just a pool, a stagnant pool, but a river. A flowing river with a rich supply of fresh and clean water to refresh the weary traveler, to cleanse him from all his sin, to wash away all the dryness. Don't you think immediately here of the Lord Jesus Christ who says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Or how about when he said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden on life's journey. Hide in me. Come to me. rest, find rest with me. And then there is this most remarkable picture as given last year, and that is the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And that is the most elaborate picture here that the author gives us. It's really climactic. Everything he said thus far about this man is glorious, but when you're in a desert and the sun is blazing down upon you and you're about to faint, and there, where there's nothing else where you can hide, you see this huge protrusion of a rock, and you can come under it. And the rock blocks the blazing sun. The rock, as it were, says, "Rest here, traveler. Fall down. Crawl under me. I can cool you. I can protect you. I can refresh you in my shadow." A man. Isn't that the most remarkable thing? It doesn't say here God, though of course it is God, but it's God in your flesh, in my flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. Have you ever been amazed at the fact that there is in Jesus Christ not just a divine helper? Indeed, he is altogether divine, and you need him to be divine, but you need him also to be very man, very God, very man. I need him like that. If he is simply God and not bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, I can't hide. Because the soul that sinneth, it must die. The very nature that has committed sin must pay for that penalty for sin. A man shall be as an hiding place. Oh, dear ones, doesn't this show you how close the Lord comes? Children, young people, the provision of the Lord is in your very nature. So approachable. So near at hand. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. One who didn't despise to take a human nature. The angelic nature, if it had been offered to him, he would have set it aside. He took on the nature of the seed of Abraham. He said, "Lo, I come. I come to take a human nature to myself. A body like yours. A human body, a human soul." He took it to himself. The Son of God in our nature. And if that meant being conceived of the Virgin Mary, If that means the Almighty God is contracted into a very span, and he is there in the womb, growing, being formed, he is born into this world with all its winds and with all its storms and with all its weariness, with all its dryness, he will do it. Behold a man. But you know, congregation, I think that in the Spirit, Isaiah saw more than a manger, saw more than a teacher. He saw the one who stood before Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate pointed him out as the judge of that time, and he said, "Behold the man." And there he was before the judgment seat of man. And though innocent, he was condemned. Behold the man. And in that moment, and especially on Calvary, he was not only before the judgment seat of man, but he was before the judgment seat of Almighty God. As the God-man, but in our nature. And God laid upon him, upon this man, the iniquity of us all. He was despised. He was rejected. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. And he opened not his mouth. For him, there was no mitigation of the tempest. For him, there was no drop of water to cool his tongue. When he cried, "I thirst," he cried a cry that was unanswered by any human being. It was a cry that came up in the heart of the mediator as he was under the wrath of God for the sins of everyone who would ever believe, every tribe, tongue, and nation. All those sins were laid upon him, unmitigated. No shadow. No rock. Exposed. Under wrath. He who never did or said anything amiss. He who made the world. The world was made by him. And he came under judgment in order that he might be the man who would be a hiding place, a covert, a river. A river. A wonderfully flowing, pure, cleansing, satisfying river. Have you drunk from that river? Have you pushed your parched mouth into the blessed water that issues forth from him? This is the question with which we end. We've seen the need that this presupposes. We see the great refuge this proposes. We ask now a final question, the question this poses. Have you gone to this man? I don't ask you if you've seen this man from a distance pictured in the scriptures. I'm not asking if you've heard people speak of this man. I'm not asking about how many sermons you can recall having been preached about this man. There's only one way to partake the blessedness of this man, and that is to go to him. To heed his call in the gospel when he calls sinners, whoever they are. He says, "Come unto me. I will be a hiding place. You will find it to be so. Taste and see that it is true." My friend, if you have not gone to this man, I ask you, why? Why not? Can you manage your life? Is the blazing sun not hot enough? Is there no wind in your life? What about the tempest? Are you prepared for the tempest to suddenly break forth? And there you are, exposed. No more shadow. You heard about it all your life. No more shadow. You call for the rocks and they can't help you. And that while you've sat under preaching of the shadow of the great rock. In the weary land. Oh, my friend, hide. Do it then. Hide under the covert of his wings. He's so approachable. He's even now in heaven. Never forget this. He's still the God-man. On the throne of heaven, there's the dust of the earth, as someone said. It's a human nature. Yes, the Son of God, but in our nature, on the throne of God, And his heart in heaven now still beats with love for sinners. So approachable, so near, so close, calling, calling, calling. Oh, that you'd hear his calls every Lord's Day when the gospel is preached. He from heaven is calling. Don't despise his voice. Don't turn away from his voice. If people despised the voices of angels in the Old Testament, they were punished. You wouldn't do that. If an angel was here in church and with flaming sword and he told you to do something, wouldn't you do it? Of how much sore punishment should he be thought worthy who, having heard the voice of the Son of God speaking in his word, and that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. Don't disobey him. Hear his voice today. So many have found refuge in this man from all sorts of sins. Nicodemus ultimately broke down and sought refuge, not in his works, not in his law-keeping, not in his Phariseeism. He came under the cover of Christ. The Samaritan woman, give me to drink of this water that I thirst not. With all her sin, she came and plunged into Christ. The thief on the cross, he too, he hid, even in the hour when he was but a step away from death, when you could say the tempest was just being held back. A few hours more and it would have unleashed itself upon this man to all eternity in hell forever. The man saw the covert. He saw the rock. He felt the shadow. And he hid. Oh, congregation, this is a gospel that must go far and near. It must go throughout this whole entire world. There's not a sinner in this world that doesn't need Christ. Will you tell him? Will you tell him? This world needs Christ. And how about you? How about today? How about this evening? This man is here. He's everything. Christ is everything. A long life's journey. People of God, don't forget it. When the wind comes up later this week, don't forget it. He's the refuge. He's the comfort. He's everything. He truly is everything. Try it. Prove it. And find it to be so for Christ's sake alone.